Imagine for a second that you are constructing a house.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Right. So historically, software development has been a lot like, well, being the bricklayer. You are out there under the hot sun, exhaustingly placing every single brick by hand.
Yeah, mixing the mortar, checking the level.
Exactly. You do all the heavy lifting, line by line, syntax error by syntax error. But suddenly, something fundamental has shifted.
It really has.
Instead of being the bricklayer, you take a step back and realize you've become the master architect. You're speaking plain language instructions to this magical, super fast builder who instantly erects the walls right in front of you
Right.
while you just oversee the design, manage the structural integrity, and tweak the layout.
And that transition from manual labor to architectural oversight is the literal reality of software development in 2026.
Yeah, it's wild.
I mean, we are no longer talking about experimental parlor tricks or like fun side projects. If you are not building software with this methodology today, you are competing against individuals who can ship enterprise-grade products 10 times faster than you.
Which brings us to our mission for this deep dive, because to figure out how you actually learn to be that architect, we are cross-referencing a massive stack of 2026 tech ed reports, syllabus breakdowns from top training institutes, and localized hiring data.
Right, from major global capability centers.
Exactly. And specifically, we are looking at the tech hub of Hyderabad to compare offline versus online training formats for what the industry now just calls vibe coding.
I love that term.
Right. So the goal here is to demystify the mechanics of this shift and help you figure out which learning format perfectly matches your current career stage and, well, your lifestyle constraints.
It's definitely worth establishing right away that the terminology might sound casual, you know, vibe coding, but the underlying technology is intensely complex.
Oh, for sure.
We are far beyond the days of just opening up a chat window, asking for a Python script, and copying it over. The current baseline for these courses involves highly specialized, integrated environments.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because there is this lingering stereotype that I want to push back on right away.
What's that?
Well, people think that if the AI is writing all the code, aren't we basically just teaching people to be professional Googlers or like glorified chatbot whisperers?
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Right. But looking at these syllabus breakdowns, managing an agentic AI feels less like writing code and more like being a dog
And
handling.
dog handling, I like that.
Yeah, because the AI has immense power and speed, right? But if you don't keep it on a tight architectural leash, it will just run off into the woods and build a completely unscalable, totally insecure database.
What's fascinating here is that dog handler metaphor hits the nail on the head. You might assume that because you are utilizing natural language, your need to understand underlying code just, well, diminishes.
Right, like you don't need to know the basics anymore.
Exactly. But the reality is the exact opposite. Your human role has completely shifted away from writing boilerplates, sure. But you are now entirely responsible for judging the output at a massive scale.
Which is terrifying if you don't know what you're looking at.
Exactly. You have to
Yeah.
deeply understand system architecture. Because you are steering the AI when it inevitably, and it will, hallucinates a library dependency or creates a cross-site scripting vulnerability.
Which means you need the programming fundamentals more than ever. I mean, if you don't know what a secure database query looks like, you won't catch the error when the AI generates a flawed one.
Precisely.
And that honestly explains the sheer length of these courses. Because looking at the data, these aren't weekend boot camps. The institutes we're looking at are running intensive programs lasting anywhere from 2 to 6 months.
Yeah, and during those months, students are learning to orchestrate a very specific toolkit. It starts with AI-native code editors like Cursor.
Oh, Cursor is everywhere right now.
It really is. And in Cursor, the AI is actually aware of your entire local file system. Then they move into integrating GitHub Copilot directly into continuous integration workflows.
Right.
And they're using advanced models like Claude 3.5 or Gemini for high-level architectural planning. But the real pinnacle of the curriculum is managing agentic environments like Windsurf.
Yeah, let's actually break down how that works because earlier tools just gave you glorified autocomplete,
Right.
But Windsurf actually acts like a junior developer, right?
Yes, exactly.
It reads your entire project context, proposes a multi-step plan, spins up a local server, runs its own tests, and then literally iterates on its own errors. The courses are teaching you how to review its thought process before you approve the pull request.
And the mechanism there is crucial. An agentic tool doesn't just respond to a prompt. It has an entire loop of execution and evaluation.
Wow.
Yeah. So if it encounters a bug while trying to implement a payment gateway, it will read the error logs, search the documentation, and try a new approach completely on its own.
That's incredible.
It is. So the human's job, the actual skill being taught in these Hyderabad institutes, is knowing how to intervene when that loop gets stuck. You have to know how to manage the context window so the AI doesn't forget the broader system architecture.
Right, and how to define the boundaries of the agent's permissions.
Exactly.
And honestly, looking at this, it makes complete sense why this explosion of structured training is heavily concentrated in Hyderabad.
Oh, it's the perfect storm.
Yeah, you look at the hiring data, and Hyderabad has this incredibly dense concentration of GCCs for massive international Fortune 500 companies, and these corporations aren't just experimenting on the side anymore.
No, they're actively tearing down their old engineering pipelines.
Right, and rebuilding them around AI-assisted development because the delivery timelines are just unbeatable.
Add to that the startup density in areas like HI Tech City. I mean, lean, early-stage startups are adopting vibe coding by default now.
Because they have to, right?
Yeah. It allows a tiny, scrappy team of three developers to ship a complex, scalable product that, honestly, 3 years ago would have required a dedicated back-end team, a front-end team, and a DevOps engineer.
Plus, you have this enormous existing pool of legacy IT service developers in the city. You know, people who have spent a decade at mid-sized firms who are looking around and realizing, uh-oh, they have to pivot.
Yeah, they see the writing on the wall.
Exactly. They're actively trying to upskill to stay relevant against AI, creating this massive localized demand for high-quality instruction.
All of which brings us to the core decision facing anyone looking to enter this space. We know why the skill is critical. And we know the tools involved.
Right.
The real question is how you acquire the knowledge. The traditional route, of course, is the physical classroom, the offline setup.
The classic model. You have fixed timings, you commute to a physical training center, and you're working alongside a cohort of maybe 30 other learners in a computer lab. But let's bring a dose of reality into this, because if you live in Hyderabad, or frankly, any major global tech hub, the commute is a massive, exhausting barrier.
Oh, the traffic is legendary.
Right. You might be spending 2 hours a day just navigating traffic on the outer ring road.
Yeah.
So you have to ask, is it actually worth losing 10 hours a week in transit just to sit at a computer that you could have easily fired up from your own living room?
Well, for a very specific demographic, that physical environment is the only way they will succeed.
Really?
Yes. The demographic the offline model serves best consists of freshers, college students, and recent graduates who are complete beginners to software architecture.
Okay, yeah. I'd imagine that offline setup is almost exclusively for freshers because, well, when you're 22 and staring at an AI hallucination, you don't even have the foundational context to realize that AI is lying to you.
That lack of foundational context is fatal when you're learning alone. I mean, when the AI spins up a completely unscalable database schema and you don't know enough to see the flaw.
You just accept it?
Exactly. You end up building an entire application on a broken foundation. Debugging a tricky logic error or figuring out why your prompt generated a broken API connection is exponentially faster when a veteran mentor is physically standing behind you.
Literally pointing at your screen.
Yes. Pointing at the screen and explaining the architectural misstep, that immediate in-person feedback loop is invaluable when you are first learning how an AI model thinks.
It's also about navigating environment setup hell.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Right. The Tekka reports highlight that offline courses provide hands-on lab environments with dedicated pre-configured systems. Because if you're trying to learn this at home, you might lose the first 3 weeks of your journey just trying to get your local dependencies to play nice with the agentic framework.
Absolutely. In a lab, it's all ready to go, which prevents that early frustration that causes so many beginners to just quit. The offline model acts as a highly structured container. It holds you in the learning process, because if you haven't yet built the ironclad discipline required for self-study, which, let's be honest, most 20-year-olds haven't.
Guilty as charged back then, yeah.
Right. Having to physically show up, sit next to your classmates, and present your daily progress, it just keeps you accountable.
There's also the local networking aspect to think about. You're sitting next to peers and instructors who are deeply embedded in the Hyderabad tech scene.
That's a huge bonus.
Yeah, because 6 months down the line, when a local startup is hiring a junior vibe coder, that instructor might just pass your portfolio directly to the hiring manager.
So the container is undeniably effective for building foundational skills and professional networks.
But that rigid offline container has a massive flaw.
The time commitment.
Exactly. It assumes you have 10 hours a day to dedicate to commuting and classroom lectures. But if you are already working a demanding 9-to-6 job at a legacy IT firm and you're trying to upskill in the evenings, I mean, that physical commute makes the transition physically impossible.
And this constraint is exactly what birthed the massive explosion of the online vibe coding market.
Right.
The online setup caters entirely to the working professional and the disciplined self-starter. It removes the geographical barrier, offers highly flexible scheduling with evening or weekend batches, and generally operates at a lower price point.
Because the Institute isn't maintaining prime commercial real estate in Asia Tech City, right?
Exactly.
And looking at the syllabus breakdowns, the online formats rely heavily on a mix of live virtual classes and recorded sessions. And I really want to highlight those recorded sessions because for complex technical training, they are a massive, underappreciated benefit.
Oh, absolutely.
When an instructor is demonstrating how to set up a CI/CD pipeline using GitHub Copilot, or how to manage state across a complex React application with Claude, being able to pause, rewind, and replay their exact keystrokes on your own screen is incredibly powerful.
Yes.
Because you simply cannot rewind a live lecture if you zone out for 30 seconds.
Asynchronous learning is a huge advantage for dense, multi-step architectural lessons. But online learning does require a completely different psychological approach.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because I look at online learning and I can't help but use a home gym analogy.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's great in theory, right? The treadmill is right there in your bedroom, zero commute. But it is incredibly easy to just throw your laundry on it and ignore it when you're exhausted after a long day of dealing with clients.
That is very true.
So without the peer pressure of a physical classroom, without that mentor hovering over your shoulder to unstick you when you get frustrated, how are online learners actually managing to push through the difficult modules?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the lack of handholding in an online environment actually functions as a hidden long-term benefit.
Really? How so?
Think about it. When you are sitting in your home office at 11 p.m., your deployment script breaks. Your AI assistant is caught in a self-correcting loop that's going nowhere, and you do not have a mentor to immediately point at the error.
You just have to figure it out.
Exactly. You have to wrestle with the machine yourself. Sure, you can eventually access a remote mentor during a scheduled video call, but in that moment of frustration, you are forced to problem solve independently.
You have to figure out how to debug the AI's logic, which forces you to dig into the actual documentation instead of just relying on the instructor's quick fix.
And because of that forced independence, online learners often emerge from these programs with a uniquely resilient troubleshooting muscle.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
They have learned how to untangle complex AI hallucinations on their own. And if you zoom out, that perfectly mimics the reality of modern remote work and freelance environments.
Right, because when you get hired by an international company, your lead engineer isn't going to be standing over your shoulder anyway.
Exactly. You are expected to manage your agentic tools and deliver solutions independently.
So basically, the offline format polishes your fundamentals and gives you immediate structural support, while the online format forces you to build the resilience and self-directed problem solving you will absolutely need on the job.
That's a perfect summary.
It's also vital to point out from the GCC data that online courses are democratizing access to this hub's expertise. I mean, you might be living in a tier two city, hundreds of miles from Hyderabad, but you can still access the exact same curriculum and high-level mentors that are fueling the top startups.
And that democratization is completely reshaping the talent pool nationally.
Okay, so let's fast forward. Whether you brave the Hyderabad traffic for an intensive offline bootcamp, or you build that independent troubleshooting muscle in your pajamas through an online program,
right,
all of this effort ultimately funnels down to one single high-stakes moment, sitting across from a hiring manager for a technical interview.
Yes, the moment of truth.
So what does this all mean? Which format actually gets you the job? When the recruiter is looking at two resumes, does the offline certificate hold more weight?
The data across the TechEd reports and hiring surveys is definitive on this. Employers genuinely do not care about the format of your training.
Not at all.
Not at all. Recruiters cannot tell whether your certificate says online or offline, and it really does not factor into their hiring calculus.
Wow. The aha moment here is that in 2026, your portfolio isn't judged by how many lines of code you wrote or like where you sat while you learned to write them.
Right.
It is judged entirely by the complexity of the architecture you managed to orchestrate. If the piece of paper doesn't matter, you have to prove you aren't just someone who got lucky with a ChatGPT prompt.
Exactly. You have to prove you are a true architect.
So how do you actually prove that?
You prove it strictly through the output. What dictates your job readiness and your starting salary is the depth of your skill and the reality of your deployed applications. Hiring managers are looking for full-stack projects that solve real problems.
So they want to see the actual functioning product.
Yes. They are evaluating the security protocols you implemented, the scalability of the database schema the AI generated for you, and how clean the final code base is.
It's the ultimate show, don't tell.
Absolutely. And during the technical rounds of the interview, the entire dynamic has changed. They aren't asking you to write a sorting algorithm on a whiteboard anymore.
Thank goodness for that.
Right. Instead, they're opening up your deployed application and asking you to defend your architectural reasoning.
So when they ask why you chose a specific authentication flow or how you handled state management in the front end, you can't just say, oh, well, because the AI suggested it.
No, that will get you disqualified immediately. You have to explain the underlying logic, the security trade-offs you considered, and why you steer the agentic tool in that specific direction.
Right. If you can clearly articulate the why behind the architecture and your portfolio functions flawlessly, the hiring manager does not care if you learned those skills in a state-of-the-art lab or at your kitchen table.
And the job market itself is moving so fast that companies are actively rewriting their job descriptions to reflect this new reality.
They really are.
I mean, the hiring data shows roles spanning from AI-assisted full-stack developer all the way to specialized freelance AI engineers. We are even seeing traditional IT services firms, you know, the ones that used to bill by the hour for manual coding, building AI-enabled delivery teams just to survive the pricing pressure from leaner startups.
Fluency with tools like Cursor, Copilot, and Windsurf is no longer a bonus qualification. It is the absolute baseline expectation.
Yeah.
The era of developers proudly avoiding AI tools, treating them like a crutch or just a passing fad, is over.
It's like applying for a financial analyst job today and bragging that you refuse to use Excel because you prefer doing the math by hand on a notepad.
That's a great comparison.
It's just not going to fly. You are a liability to the team's velocity at that point.
Exactly. And regarding job placement support, which is a major selling point for these institutes, your success depends entirely on the specific institute's industry partnerships, not the format of the classes.
Right, that makes sense.
An established offline institute might have deep historical ties with local Hyderabad tech parks for immediate walk-in interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, a premium online program might have a broader national network of remote-first startups looking for independent problem solvers.
So you evaluate the institute's credibility and their transparent placement data, not just the delivery method.
Precisely.
So to distill all of these reports and syllabus breakdowns into a clear roadmap for you listening right now, the path you choose must be a mirror of your current reality and your psychological profile.
Well said.
If you are a fresher, a college student, or someone who knows deeply that they need structure, peer accountability, and instant point at the screen feedback to get through the frustrating early days of debugging hallucinations, then the offline classroom is your container. Go fight the traffic. The foundational support it provides will be worth it.
And if you are a working professional juggling a demanding job, or someone who naturally thrives on independent problem solving and asynchronous learning,
right,
then the Online Red offers access to the exact same vital 2026 tech stack without requiring you to upend your entire life.
Regardless of the path, when you are handing over your money to these institutes, ignore the generic marketing fluff. Dig into the syllabus. Ensure they are teaching the mechanics of the real tools you know. Cursor, Claude, Windsurf.
Yes, look for the actual tools.
Demand instructors who have actual, recent professional development experience using these agentic frameworks, not just career academics. And above all, ensure the course is ruthlessly project-heavy, forcing you to build that complex, deployable portfolio that will actually get you hired.
You know, this deep dive raises a much larger, frankly, more provocative question about where the entire industry is heading.
Oh, like what?
Well, we spent a lot of time analyzing tools like Windsurf, these agentic coding environments that read your file tree, execute multi-step plans, and self-correct their own errors.
Yeah.
If an AI agent is taking on exponentially more of the execution layer, and a single Vibe coder today can orchestrate the workload of what used to be a 5-person engineering team.
Ew.
What does the software industry look like in another 3 years?
That is wild to think about.
Are we inevitably heading toward a centralized world dominated by just a few massive tech conglomerates operating highly optimized 1,000-agent AI swarms?
Wow.
Or, conversely, are we standing on the precipice of a golden age for the ultra-empowered solo developer?
Uh-huh.
Individuals who can conceive, architect, and deploy massive, globally scalable platforms entirely by themselves from a laptop in a coffee shop.
That is the ultimate question this technology forces us to ask. As these agentic tools get sharper and more autonomous, the bottleneck is no longer how fast you can lay the bricks or even how well you can write the boilerplate.
No, it's not.
The only remaining limit is the scale of your imagination and your grasp of the underlying architecture. You are the master architect now. The tools are waiting for your instructions. So what kind of house are you going to build?